discussion today is found in the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter. We began to speak to you last week upon this chapter, how that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and 250 men, well-known, renowned, and more important men than others in the congregation, rose up against Moses and Aaron. They formed a party against them, and they came to Moses and said unto him that he had made himself chief over them. He had exalted himself. Where the whole congregation was holy, he had lifted himself up above all the others. And Moses, when he heard this, he didn't defend himself. He didn't reply unto them. It says distinctly that Moses fell on his face. What do you think Moses did when he fell on his face? I think that he went in prayer to God and committed the case to God for what these people brought before him. And then he spake unto Korah and said unto him that the next day, tomorrow, God would show who he had chosen. They were to take censers, and they were to put fire in them and incense in them, and come the next morning by the door of the congregation, and there God would prove who the man was who he had chosen, the one that he would bring near unto him. This company of men are called Levites. Korah was a Levite, and the 250 men likewise with him. These Levites, they had been chosen by God himself, separated from the congregation of Israel, to minister in the tabernacle. This was an honor that God had put upon these people, this tribe. No other tribe had been chosen but the tribe of Levi. They did the service in the tabernacle with the priest. We read of Aaron and his sons being consecrated to be priests. Wonderful that God took Aaron and his sons and likewise anointed them and gave them special clothing to wear, and they were appointed by God to be priests. And these men, they were to help these priests in the service of the tabernacle. And now these men, they had become jealous, they were envious, and pride had lifted them up, and they thought that Moses had put himself into this office himself. They as much as said, well, Moses, listen, you think God sent you, that God put you there? Now, you're not any different than us. We're all like you. We're all holy men. You ain't any better than we are. This is what was the substance of it. And therefore, Korah was the leader thereof. He had spoken to Abiram and Dathan and the other men about this, and they agreed with him. They went on his side, and this was now the party that was formed against him, Moses and Aaron. Moses speaks unto them concerning the honor that God had put upon them. He reminded them of the wonderful blessing that God was giving unto these men. Were they not satisfied with where God had put them? Did they seek also the priesthood? God would show who was the priest. Tomorrow you bring your censers with you, you and your 250 men, and Aaron also, he shall bring his censer. And then you shall see who is holy and the one that God hath chosen. And now Moses, he sent word to Dathan and Abiram that they should come down to him, but they refused to come. They were angry with Moses, and they had sided with Korah. They were rebellious creatures. They wouldn't obey the summons that Moses sent to them. And they spake so instantly to him that they said, who do you think you are that we should come down to you? What, you set yourself up over us? and made a prince of yourself? Why, you said you were going to bring us into a land that flows with milk and honey. We came out of a land that flowed with milk and honey, but we never got that land that you were talking about. You said you were going to bring us into a land of vineyards and of wonderful fruit places, and here we are in this wilderness. We will not come down to you. Now, this was nothing else but a lie, because Moses, he had never set himself up as a prince. We know from Scripture that Moses didn't even want to go. He didn't even want to lead these people. And we know, too, that Moses was a father to these people. How many times hadn't he interceded between God and them that they should not perish? He loved these people wholeheartedly. He was leading these people the way God had commissioned him and commanded him. And he had not lifted himself up. Oh, no. And therefore, Moses, he says unto God, respect not their offering, for I have not taken one ass or done any one of them hurt. Moses here then goes to God with what these men spoke about him and said, respect not their offering. What a mercy, my hearers, if we are not guilty of what people accuse us to be guilty of. This Moses felt at this present moment, and therefore he went to God with this. And he likewise in this speaks to God of his integrity and of his honesty, that he had not taken one ass of them. He never took any money off them. He never asked any salary for what he was doing for them. He had it much better back in the home of Jethro, his father-in-law, where he was taking care of the sheep, than he had it here amongst these people. And likewise, he had never done them any hurt. No, he had never caused any one of them, no matter how much they had provoked him and how much they had went against him, he had not said anything wrong to them. The Scripture teaches us that Moses was one of the meekest men that was in the world. And he, in this, revealed a likeness of Jesus Christ in meekness towards these people who he was leading. Moses then committed his case to God. Oh, I felt something of that when I was reading that. Oh, when people accuse us, and people slander us, and people speak evil against us, and we are sure that we are not guilty of these things, and we can commit our cause with a clear conscience to God, with a clean heart, then we may be sure that God will take up our case. And Moses here committed it to God, and he says, respect not their offering. It was just as we read back in the beginning of the Bible. You read of Cain and Abel. God had respect unto the offering of Cain, but not unto the offering of Abel, but not unto Cain. So here Moses requested that God would not respect their offering because they were wicked men, and the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto God. And these men then refused to come down. But Korah and all his company, they had been warned by Moses, but they remained in their hardness, in their sins, in their pride. And the next morning we find that they came. The 250 men with all their censers, and likewise Korah. Korah, he had got up very early, I see in the Scriptures, and he had went throughout the whole congregation, and he gathered the whole congregation together. He had a number of people behind him. He rose up in rebellion against Moses and Aaron, and in this he rose up against God, who had placed Moses and Aaron over these people. And now here he had all the people behind him. Inwardly, these people, they were even wishing that Korah would get the priesthood, probably, which he was aiming at. Korah then and all his company gathered themselves together at the door of the tabernacle or the congregation. These men then, they were men that were going to do sacrifice, the morning sacrifice. They were going to burn incense before God. This censer that they used was an instrument in which they went to the altar and took fire from the altar, and they put incense upon this fire. It seems that it was sort of a metal tray that they carried in their hand. We read in 1 Kings 9 that Solomon had censers made of pure gold, but these censers were not pure gold. They were brazen censers, it says, probably those that they used in their own homes when they likewise had religious worship. And therefore these men, they came with these censers, and they had fire in them, and they had incense in them. And they gathered the whole company against Moses and Aaron at the door of the congregation. And then suddenly, the glory of the Lord appears. This man, Korah, he had probably in mind that with all the people behind him, he would exclude Moses and Aaron from being their leaders anymore. And if anybody rose up against them, well, he probably would have murdered them. He was intent on taking this sacred office that these men had been placed in. How awful for a person to be like this, without having a divine word, without having a word from heaven to go and do these things, to be so impudent and so proud and so lifted up to think that you could do something against God in heaven who had placed these men there. This was nothing else but rebellion against God and what he had done. And now suddenly, while they were all gathered together, the glory of the Lord appeared in a visible way, in a way that everybody took notice of, even these 250 men in Korah and his company. Oh, they probably would have made mutiny there, but when they seen this, they were restrained. And now God, he speaks unto Moses and unto Aaron. And he said, separate yourselves from this company, and I will consume them in a moment. It was God who was taking up his own cause, my hearers. Oh, he commanded then Moses and Aaron to separate themselves from them people, and he would consume them in his wrath and in his anger. Oh, if it was you and I was thinking probably we would have said, thanks, God, and we would have went away right away. But did Moses and Aaron do that? Oh, no. Oh, no. No, even though all those people were against them and had risen up like this, when God was going to consume them, they were true shepherds. They loved their flock. What did they do? They got down on their knees. Not that they were more merciful than God. Don't get this wrong. No. But they interceded, they prayed, they cried to God. And they said, oh God, the God of the spirits of our flesh, shall one man sin and the whole congregation perish? Oh, they pleaded, you know, oh God, you know the spirits of all these people that are here, all these that have come up behind Korah and his company. You know there are probably many amongst them, Lord, that only came out of curiosity, that were only called to come and see how the issue would be. Lord, you know that most of them, they're not like Korah and his company. Although they went along with them, they're sinners too. But oh, this Korah, who was the instigator, who was the one that hatched this plot, his sin was much greater than these people. They should have never went along with Korah and his company. They should have protested and went on the side of Moses and Aaron, but they did not. They went along with him. And now these two men are pleading with God that he would not kill everybody, that he would not consume consume them all? Oh, wouldn't he remember? It was just like when Abraham was pleading for Lot in Sodom. Oh, shalt thou consume the righteous with the wicked? That is not the way God does it, no. And this is the prayer that Moses sent up at this present time for the people of Israel. Oh, he pleaded that God knew what was taking place amongst all this multitude of people. My hearers, in this there's a lesson for us. We are not to follow a multitude to do evil. These people that came up out of curiosity and that followed these people, Korah and his company, they were in a spot where they might have been consumed in a moment. Oh, my hearers, I was thinking of this. How many people follow others in sinful practices and in sinful ways, and out of mere curiosity many times go to places where they should not be? And how many times do we not read and see that the wrath of God comes down upon such a company, and many of them are consumed? All the judgments and the justice of God takes hold upon sinners many times. Here we find Moses pleading with God. And did God hear? Did God answer? Did he gain his ear? Oh, yes, yes. He is a God of mercy. Even in the midst of strict justice, oh, he says unto Moses, go ye and speak unto the company of people, that they get up from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, lest they perish with them in their sins. This then was the answer of God. It was because Moses had prayed that these people would be spared. Oh, my hearers, have you an interest in the prayers of God's people? Have you some friend of yours that's a child of God, and you plead with them that they would pray for you? Oh, you will never gain the object of their prayers if you do not attend unto the means that God has given so that they may be answered. These people, they were spared by the prayer of Moses. And Moses, he went up to them. He went up with 70 of the elders of Israel. He went up with a bodyguard. He went up to the rebels that were up there. Oh, he didn't shun them. He was not afraid of them. He went up to them to speak unto them. Can't you see this man with 70 of the elders going up to these people? For these people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they had erected a tabernacle in the midst of the congregation. They had had meetings. They had had services there. They had revealed open defiance against Moses and Aaron. They didn't think that Moses and Aaron had been sent of God any different than they were. And now these people that were with their tents round about these men, they were all standing round about this company. And Moses, he goes up, and he speaks unto them, to the people. And he says unto them, depart ye from the midst of these people, from these wicked men, lest ye be consumed in their sins. Did they listen? Did they obey? Oh, my hearers, they did. God gave these people to listen to what Moses said, and they went away from the company of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Let me entreat you. If I entreat you to leave your sins, to seek God, to call upon him while he is yet near, oh, may you give ear. May you listen to the pleadings that come to you from my lips. Oh, they are in love, believe me. I wouldn't want to see any one of you perish in your sins. There is yet mercy to be had at the feet of Christ. Oh, that God would incline you to listen and to obey what you hear. For these people, when Moses went to them, they listened to him. They didn't shun what he said, no. They immediately got up from the tents of these wicked people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and his company. They all had come outside, their wives and their children. They were standing in the doorway of their tents. They stood there defiant. They stood there as they said, well, let God do what he wants to do. Let him do his worst. This is the way they stood there, my Hebrews. And Moses went to them and speak unto them. Oh, I can see this man. The God of heaven and earth was down in his soul. This God revealed unto him what he was going to do to this company. And Moses directed his conversation unto Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. He spake unto them and said unto them that if these men die a normal death, or if they are visited by the visitation as of other men and have died that way, then God has not sent me. But if God create a new thing, if God open in the earth and these men go down quick into the pit, then ye shall know thereby that God has sent me to do all these works, and that I have not done them of myself. Oh, how firm Moses stood here. He stood here in faith. He stood here with a knowledge of what was going to take place. Where did he get this from? God must have gave it to him while he was walking towards them. He was instructed to speak by the Spirit in this way, telling these people just what was going to take place. He put himself in a position as if to say, well now, if this don't take place, then God has not sent me. You don't have to believe me. God has rejected me. I am then an impostor. But if this takes place, what I have just said, then you will know that you have not only striven against me, but against God also. And he who fighteth with me, fighteth with that God that sent me. Moses was so sure what was going to take place. And no more than Moses had spoken the words and finished what he had said, all we find that the earth opened its mouth. The earth clave asunder, and suddenly the ground underneath Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in their tents, their wives and their children, they immediately sank down into the pit. Sank down into hell alive, as the scripture says. Oh, what an awful judgment was this that God brought upon these rebellious creatures. Oh, can't you picture in your mind these people? Suddenly, the earth went from under them. Suddenly, a hole was made, and down they sank in the midst of all their sins. In all their rebelliousness, O God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, who has all power at his command, who uses this earth for a blessing to mankind, likewise use the earth at this present time in his justice to destroy these sinners, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all their children. Oh, who can understand? Did God do wrong? Is there any injustice in God that even these little children who were standing with their parents outside of the tent sank down into the pit? Oh, who shall say to him, what doest thou? It is not written in this particular chapter, but Moses relates in the 26th chapter, the 10th verse, that the children of Korah did not perish with their father. Moses teaches this. All the other people had gone away from these people, and in this probably the children of Korah had left their parents and had went with the multitude away from them. They were mercifully spared. For later on we read of so many psalms of the children of Korah. God yet used this heritage or these people that were related to Korah, to use them in his house of worship and give them light to be singers and put forth songs. They did not die with their parents, but the children of Abiram and of Dathan, their wives, and everything that pertained to them sank down into the pit. Oh, they were immediately killed and buried at the same time. Oh, what an awful judgment, my dear. Never had this taken place before. Others likewise had been visited by God by a plague, by a fire, by the sword, but never had the ground opened up as it did at this present time to consume of these people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. All this is an emblem, my Hebrews, of those that die impenitent, those that receive not the grace of repentance, all in that great day of accounts. What an awful thing it will be. We find that when this took place, the children of Israel, they fled from them. They ran as fast as they could away from this, what was taking place. Lest, they said, we also die. They ran from the cries of these people. All these people that were being consumed when the earth opened up. Oh, they cried, help us, help us. Oh, we're sinking, we're sinking, we're lost. Help us. Too late. Too late to cry. Their neighbors, they even fled from them because they were guilty too, and they were afraid that they might be consumed in this. Oh, my heavens. This will be the day when Christ shall come in the world to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, what a prayer day that will be. Have you ever stopped to think? We read thereof in Scripture that they will pray to the mountains and to the hills that they may be covered from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Oh, what cries will go up then, help us, help us. It'll be forever too late. Oh, my hearers, now is the time of salvation. Now is yet the day of grace. Now God cries yet through the medium of his word to you and to me, turn ye, for wherefore will ye die? Oh, may you give ear unto it. For if you turn not, then most certainly this what took place with this company will take place with you in the day of judgment. God will banish you forever from his presence into that place of weeping and of wailing and of gnashing of teeth. Oh, my hearers, may God sanctify this lesson that we have at this afternoon to your souls. All these people then that were neighbors to them, they seen this taking place with them. That must have been something. They never seen anything like this in their life. They never heard anything like this in their life either. Oh, you would think that it would have made such an impression upon them that they never would forget it. And now we take a glance back at the tabernacle, at the door of the congregation. There are these 250 men with their censers offering up incense, and Aaron is with them. And suddenly, there comes a fire out from God and consumes these 250 men. Every one of them except Aaron was consumed by the fire of God. Oh, what an awful thing. What a judgment this was upon these 250 men. They were consumed. You don't read that they picked up the bodies, that they buried them. No, they were burned to nothing. There was nothing left of them. Just their censers, that which they were using in offering up unto God, this was spared. All my hearers, we read before in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, of two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. They likewise were in the priest's office. And they came before God with strange fire, it says. And God came down, and the fire of God consumed these two men. They weren't burned to a crisp. Their bodies were lying before the altar where they were offering up incense. And Moses commanded that they should take their bodies away and bring them outside of the camp. These two sons of Aaron, they offered up strange fire. The commentary says that they came before God drunk. They had been drinking, and they had used the wrong fire. They were to take the fire from the altar and the incense that God had commanded to be used, and they did not. And God struck them dead for their folly and for their sins right there. To prove this, the commentary says, read a little further in the chapter. God commands Moses to speak unto Aaron that he should drink no wine, no strong drink, when they entered into the tabernacle and to perform the office of a priest. They were not to do that, because if they did, they would die. So it seems as if the commentary is right in this respect, seeing this follows immediately after that these men, the two sons of Aaron, were consumed by the fire of God. But here, none of these bodies were left. They were burned immediately to a crisp. And now God, he came down and commanded that these censers that these rebels had been using, they should be sanctified, because they were used in the service of God. And God told Moses to take Eleazar to pick up these censers, and that he should make broad plates out of them, and that he should cover the altar with these broad plates as a memorial, as a sign unto the Israelites that no one who was not of the seed of Aaron should come near to do what these here men who were consumed attempted to do, to be a priest. This God commanded as a memorial, so that the Israelites would forever be reminded of what God done to these 250 men that rose up in this way. Oh, God is very faithful, and likewise very righteous, and he takes care of his own ordinances and of his own institutions, and also of those who he places over them. We see that in this history, my hearers. Oh, what an awful thing to be consumed in a moment by the fire of God. This is an emblem of that eternal fire of vengeance in hell. Oh, what a terrible thing it will be to be where the rich man is, of whom we read in Scripture that he is in torment and that he has no drop of water to drink. This is the end of all that rise up and rebel against God and continue therein. All my hearers, by nature we are not any different than Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Just watch your lives, and what are you doing, and what am I doing? Oh, are we always satisfied? Are we always content? Are we always one with what we have in this life? Are we not murmuring, complaining, rebelling against God many times inwardly, dissatisfied with so many things? Or maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're a little different. Maybe you got a different nature than me. But all my hearers, if God reveals unto you what you are, Then it's a wonder at times that the earth don't open itself up and consume you personally. Considering all the sin and all what is going on in this world at the present time, it should be a wonder to us that God yet still bears, that the earth remains, that it don't open itself up for every one of us. It is of God's mercies that we are not consumed, for we deserve to be consumed, every one of us. And now, my hearers, after this, we find, you would think that these people were under the impression of what God did. No. And this teaches us another lesson. The very next morning, the whole congregation assembles unto Moses and says unto Moses, you are the cause of all the people of the Lord dying the way they did. In other words, you are the one that murdered them. Now, Moses hadn't done this. It was God that had done this. But in this, they probably thought if you had prayed, if you had got down on your knees, maybe it wouldn't have taken place. But because you didn't plead before God for us, therefore God consumed all these people. So he was at fault again. It was Moses. They rebelled against him. Oh, my heavens. Seeing this, no matter how much God does, what he brings on you and on me, if he don't sanctify it, if he don't come along with it, we remain the same, just like these people. The very next day, there they were, in the same state again as they had been the day before, rebelling against God, standing up against him. And oh, my hearers, of this God, what did he do? We find that he didn't listen to Moses. He didn't even give Moses to pray even this time. Before Moses could even come before him, the plague began. And we find these Israelites dropping, just like apples off a tree when the wind blows. And all Moses seen what was taking place amongst the people. And Moses cried unto Aaron and said, take a censer, put fire therein and put incense therein, and run into the multitude and make an atonement for them, because the plague is already begun. And Aaron, he took as Moses had directed him, and he ran into the midst of the people, and he made an atonement for them. And we read that Aaron stood between the dead and the living. Oh, my hearers, Aaron, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, standing between the dead and the living, or making an atonement for them. What a picture we have of this precious Christ here. Oh, that we all had some eyes of faith to see the beauty of Jesus, that he still stands at the right hand of God, making intercession between the living and the dead, pleading for his church, for his people. Oh, we find that in this chapter, so many of the Israelites were consumed. These 250 men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all what appertained unto them. And now we read at the end of this chapter that there were 14,700 people that were smitten by the hand of God, and that died because of the plague. Oh, how God visits for sin, for iniquity, my hearers. It must have taken him quite a while to bury all these people. How many had perished already out of the midst of this congregation? They had rebelled against God when the spies came back with the report of the land. And they did not believe the good report, but they believed the evil report. And God told them that they would have to travel 40 years through the wilderness, and that by the end of 40 years, every one of them would drop their carcass in the wilderness that were above 20 years of age. Only those under 20 would remain. Oh, how many here even already had died, had perished. Oh, my hearers, this is a type of how many people likewise are perishing round about us, and that in their sins and being lost forever. A reminder unto us, if we get sick, something takes place with us, God is speaking to us. He's warning us. He's saying unto us in this, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And we know not how soon that we might have to die. God knocks, sometimes by affliction, sometimes by judgment. But oh, what a mercy when he knocks, if he enters into our hearts with it and causes us to return unto him. May God give every one of you that are listening to me to return unto him who stands with open arms ready to receive sinners, who says, turn ye, wherefore will ye die? Or if I could turn you, believe me, I would take every one of you and say, come, serve this God, love this God, fear this God, go not on in your sins because you'll perish in them. I'm so sure of it. But I can't do a thing for your salvation. I can plead before him. I can plead to you likewise. And may he use the feeble message this day. For your eternal salvation is my wish and prayer. That's all.